Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
The greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. The commandment that we, every day in so many ways, violate and break and fail to keep. I can say I love the Lord, but can I say I love the Lord with all my heart? No, I cannot. My heart is divided. And yet, through the miracle of faith that God gives in Jesus Christ, there begins in us true love for God, a kind of love that we cannot have apart from that perfect obedience and love that is Christ's and is bestowed upon us. And love for the Lord is at the heart, so to speak, of the hymn that we're going to be studying on this Thursday afternoon, June the 17th. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Joining us for the next hour to study the hymn, Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart, is Pastor Will Whedon. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hemel, Illinois, and a regular guest here on the program. Will, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
We don't usually do this, but I find it so interesting that this hymn, that once people hear it and sing it, it is embedded in their life in a way that few other hymns are.
Isn't it true?
But this hymn is, at least in its text, anonymous. Talk about kind of the anonymity of a hymn like this. It's been in the Reformation stream since the bloodstream of the Reformation, since almost the very beginning.
Yeah, it's not anonymous in the author of the text. It's anonymous in the author of the tune. Maybe we should say just briefly about the text itself. It is written by Pastor Martin Schalling. He was born in the heat of the Reformation and 1532, so a few years after the Catechism has been published, and he's born in Strasbourg, and he lived his entire life throughout the conflicts and upheavals of the rest of that century, and he died in 1608. He had a lot of ups and downs in his life as he strove to be faithful to the Lord. He preached against the Flacian heresy that somehow man's nature is itself sin, and for that he lost his position in the church, and he suffered for that, and yet he wouldn't back down on preaching the truth. And he suffered several other things in his life. He ended up blind and losing his church in Nuremberg where he served. But through all the ups and downs, this hymn sings his great faith in the Lord. It's an absolutely stunning thing. But the amazing thing is that it has a tune that is as majestic as the text, and nobody knows who wrote it. In the ways of a fallen man, we would think, hey, if I wrote a tune like that, I want everybody to know that I was the one who wrote that. Well, in this time in the church, there was a great humility that apparently reigned. And here we have absolutely no clue about the man who, or the woman, who put together this tune for these majestic words.
What is the biblical basis for the text of this hymn?
There's lots of biblical basis, but it's clearly the big psalms that are running in the background are Psalm 18 and Psalm 73. There's a lot more as we work through the hymn itself that we'll see. I mean, it alludes to Scripture in just about every single line. The person who put this hymn together is obviously one in whom the Scriptures lived, and so the allusions just flow from line to line. Really great stuff.
It's usually classified as a hymn of faith or trust,
mm-hmm.
which some might find incongruous with the opening line, "Lord, Thee I love with all my heart," which would seem to put, at least at first glance, the emphasis on our love for God rather than His love for us. Let's get that straight before we get into the text.
Yeah, well, St. John taught us in his epistle, we love because he first loved us. And the focus of the hymn is going to be on how he has loved us and the life into which that love has called us and summoned us. And in response to this great love that we've been shown in the incarnation, suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that that wins for us and promises to us, there is no way that love can't be the fruit of that love. And so the I love, we noted right in our personal conversation before we began today that, you know, the German does not actually have the whole thing in there. Thee will I love with all my heart. It just says, you know, I heartily love you, O Lord. I really love you. And then the hymn is about an explication of, well, why do I really love him? Let me tell you.
Is the first commandment, often restated as the greatest commandment,
mm-hmm.
love the Lord your God with all your, there is the all in that text,
oh, yeah.
all your heart, all soul and mind. Is that looming in the background of this great hymn?
Yeah, I think so, in the sense that the fulfillment of this commandment can only come about through experiencing the love of God in our lives. And in our lives, it always will remain fragmentary, piecemeal, as you mentioned at the beginning, until it's finally fulfilled in Christ. So in the sense, this hymn is a statement of faith of what will be, when love will be all that's left, when he's finally finished with us.
I wanted you to mention one other thing about the author of the text, Martin Schalling. That he, you kind of ran over it kind of quickly, but he kind of ran afoul of the Reformation briefly, or at least he appeared to run afoul of the Reformation briefly.
Well,
just tell us that story.
He declined to accept the Formula of Concord when it was published, because he thought it was being unfair to the disciples, if that's a bad word for it, but the followers of Philip Melanchthon, his students. And he thought it was just a little bit harsh on them, and so he couldn't quite go along with the spirit of it. That doesn't really set him afoul of the Reformation, per se. I mean, we note that the many Lutherans throughout the world never did accept the formula as, you know, it was regarded more as a German document than as a document of the entire Lutheran Church.
But he was put under house arrest.
They locked him up for 3 years. For refusing to sign, I mean, you know, you get the elector mad and bad things happen. But he wouldn't, you know, you get to something of the man's resolve, you know, house arrest for 3 years. He finally then was deposed from his office there, and another German territory called him to be a pastor, and he moved and took up the pastorate in the city of Nuremberg, and he stayed there for the entirety of his life thereafter.
The first stanza of this hymn, Lord, Thee I Love With All My Heart. Lord, Thee I love with all my heart, I pray Thee, ne'er from me depart. With tender mercy cheer me. Earth has no pleasure I would share. Yea, heaven itself were void and bare if Thou, Lord, wert not near me. And should my heart for sorrow break, my trust in Thee can nothing shake. Thou art the portion I have sought, Thy precious blood my soul has bought. Lord Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, my God and Lord, forsake me not, I trust thy word. The Concordia Seminary Chorus singing stanza one of the hymn, Lord, Thee I Love With All My Heart. With about a minute or so, there is a refrain of sorts that changes with each of these. But it is, Lord Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, my God and Lord. And then appropriate to each stanza. Talk a bit about that.
At the end of each stanza, you have this confession of Thomas sort of inverted. Remember on Easter evening, the Lord Jesus appeared to the disciples, and Thomas wasn't there. And so a week later, Thomas declares, I'm not going to believe unless I see. And so then the Lord Jesus, a week later, appears to Thomas, and Thomas sees and confesses before the Lord, my Lord and my God. So Thomas's confession is basically just sort of inverted and put on the lips of all believers.
This is a prayer.
It's a prayer.
Not all hymns are prayers, necessarily. Some of them are proclamations, kind of fit into that category. Dr. Norman Nagel, we recently talked with him, and he said, prayer is just read God's word, and then prayer is your amen to what you have read. What does he mean by that?
The word of God is given to us not only to inform our minds, but so that we can learn how to talk to God. I mean, and when we take the word of God and speak it back to God and ask the things that think about it. The Lord's Prayer, which encompasses every prayer we'll ever need to pray, that prayer by itself is the word of God. I mean, Jesus, it's the word right out of Jesus' own mouth. It comes from the sacred scriptures. Jesus gives us this to pray. The book of Psalms is the same way. And so a prayer like this is nothing, and you're going to hear it throughout the whole hymn, it's nothing but saying these scriptural words back to God and receiving the gifts that those words give.
Well, when we come back from this break, we're going to talk a little bit more about this first stanza of the hymn, Lord, Thee I Love With All My Heart, especially the fact that it's not just a trust in God who is distant and far away, but a trusting God who is ever present. It speaks in very concrete ways about the presence of God, even going so far as to say, yea, heaven itself were void and bare, if thou, Lord, wert not near me. And isn't this the final promise of our Savior, to be with us always, to the very end of the age? Stay tuned.
Sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois at trinitymillstadt.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The Faith, Once for All, Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri. And Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the hymn, Lord, Thee I Love With All My Heart, on this Thursday afternoon, June the 17th. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. You can read the text of this hymn under the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. we're not leaving behind this first stanza. There's so much there. Let's talk about first the presence of God that runs through the entire warp and woof of this first stanza, really the hymn itself.
Yeah, ne'er from me depart, with tender mercy cheer me. You know, our joy in the Lord comes from the tender mercies and having tasted them. And this is almost a quote from Zechariah. Zechariah sang of the Lord's tender mercy in the Benedictus, if you remember in Luke chapter 1, verse 78. He said, in the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to give light to those in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide our feet into the way of peace. And that tender mercy had a name. It's Jesus. And he comes to bring joy. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. John 15:11. He brings his joy to you through the words he speaks, which delivers him into you. Ne'er from me depart, to which he answers, lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Just as you referenced before the break.
Okay, the stanza ends in its particular way to this stanza, I trust thy word. Why is that so important, Will?
Well, because the nature of the Christian life is that it's a battle of dueling words. God speaks his words of promise, and those words seem to promise things that are unbelievable.
And contrary to fact.
Contrary to fact, contrary to what you see. And the devil, he speaks his word too. He operates by the same word. He speaks a word, and the word that he speaks suggests to you that what you see is it. Deal with the reality of what you see, and these two things battle inside of us. So that one of the most astonishing sentences in the entirety of the Lutheran symbols is in the treatise on the primacy and power of the popes. It's just a sort of a throwaway comment that Melanchthon included there, where he said that true divine services are the exercises of faith as it struggles with despair. This hymn is true divine services. It is an exercise of faith struggling with despair. You're looking, you know, the author's looking suffering and death square in the face, and he's going to be hurling at that situation in front of him, the words and promises of God, and saying, these hold true. I hold to these with a God-given faith. That's, it's not something that he knows. Faith is not something he came up with on his own. It's a gift of God. But in that gift, he is holding to that and saying, I will hold to this word of promise against everything that appears to my eyes.
A sainted pastor of mutual acquaintance, been gone a long time now, Carl Oftenberg, when he was dying, you told me the family,
yeah,
singing this hymn, yeah, around the dying pastor.
Yeah, we were up there in that IC unit in Anderson Hospital, and I'll never forget. Stephen turned to me, his son, and he said, "We need hymnals." Now, I had several in the back of my car, so I ran down and grabbed them, and we sang. But one of the chief hymns, I think it was the first hymn that we sang, was "Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart," and this was Carl's favorite hymn. He had told me before, he said, this is the hymn that will be sung at my funeral. Well, it's the hymn that's sung at every Oftenberg funeral. It's like a law of the Medes and Persians. So I arrived, I was preaching the funeral that day, and I arrived at Trinity in Edwardsville to do that, and was accosted by the family. And they said, first of all, what's the family doing before the funeral? They're downstairs in the basement singing hymns. That's what they do. usually you gather the family together and pray with them beforehand. Well, you couldn't get a prayer in because they were just singing hymns one after the other. And several of the members of the Oftenberg family said, we're not singing that out of the new book. We're singing it out of TLH. We've got copies here. I said, don't worry. I copied from TLH and put it into the bulletin. They're different. There's a different rhythmic version of it in TLH. And they were determined to do it that old way. But whether the new way or the old, actually the new way is older than the TLH way, but it struck me that this hymn is that family's signature hymn. It is the hymn they live by.
They die by.
Yes, and that just inspired me.
Jeff was a parishioner of Carl Oftenberg's, and he often speaks about that man with great affection, talking about this long bony finger with which he would address the congregation when he preached God's word. Great memory and a fantastic story. The second stanza of Lord Thee I Love with All My Heart. Yea, Lord, 'twas thy rich bounty gave my body, soul, and all I have in this poor life of labor. Lord, grant that I in every place may glorify thy lavish grace and help and serve my neighbor. Let no false doctrine me beguile. Let Satan not my soul defile. Give strength and patience unto me to bear my cross and follow thee. Lord Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, in death thy comfort still afford. This stanza makes makes the Christian life seem rather dreary. A life of labor, it says there. Explain that, if you would.
Yeah, it does describe life as it actually is. I mean, isn't that a comforting thing? It doesn't gloss over the difficulties that we live through in this age. But I'm more struck by the dreariness of the picture, but the joy that rings through nevertheless, the great nevertheless of faith here. I mean, the language of the catechism is evoked. The first article's explanation of I believe that God has made me and all things, that he's given me my body and soul, my eyes, my ears, and all my members, my reason, and all my senses, and still takes care of them, and all the other gifts that he pours out upon me. In other words, earthly life comes to us as an undeserved, unasked for, unearned gift. What's the proper use then of this earthly life that we've so undeservedly been given, having been brought from nothingness into existence? Well, this stanza gives you a twofold purpose: to glorify God's lavish grace and to serve and help our neighbor. Take that first one first. You know, this is a radical thought for most people. You exist to praise God. You exist to be for the praise of his glory, as Paul says in Ephesians 1. You exist in this life to be of service to your neighbor. There's a word that the theologians like to use, externos. It's a life that is outside of us. Luther famously said, the Christian lives entirely outside of himself. He lives in God by faith and in his neighbor by love. The fall resulted in people having a centripetal force, you know, all things collapsing toward you as the center. Whereas the life God planned for us, the life God intends for us and for which Christ came to redeem us, is a centrifugal force, a life outward toward God and the neighbor. If we're bent on self, as Luther said, God's saving us involves this unbending from the interior focus outward toward himself and toward the people he's placed around us. So this hymn stanza, in just a few tiny words, gets right at the very heart of this wonderful Reformation recognition of what life is supposed to be about.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about stanza 2 of Lord Thee I Love With All My Heart, and we'll go on to stanza 3. In the course of our conversation, we will hear the entire hymn with Pastor Will Whedon. We're going to talk a little bit more about the theology of the cross in this particular stanza when we come back. And then, of course, emphasized by the lack of all instrumentation in the recording that we're hearing, let no false doctrine me beguile. And doesn't it beguile us? False doctrine is our native language as sinners. We want the lie more than we want the truth. We do not know the truth, and we do not have the truth by nature. And so, yes, false doctrine does us beguile. Why pray against false doctrine and false teaching in this great prayer that is the hymn, Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart? We'll answer that question on the other side of the break. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month is a view from Earth orbit. That doesn't sound typical of Issues, Etc., but the book is called The Work of His Hands. It is a series of pictures and some text from an astronaut that spent 6 months on the International Space Station, largely, well, doing his job, but in his free time, taking pictures. The pictures are stunning, and they give you an astronaut's view of this marvelous creation that, of course, is part of the many gifts that God has given us in Jesus Christ. You can find out more about The Work of His Hands by calling Concordia Publishing House. Do that and order the book, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org.
Check out the new Issues, Etc. YouTube video, A Cloud of Witnesses.
What went for Mary, the angel speaks in her ear and changes who she is precisely what happens to every Christian. The Lord speaks and he changes you.
James is a great example to us of sober-minded churchmanship.
The cross looms over all of John's ministry. It's about the cross, the Lamb of God.
We see in Nicholas his love of Jesus Christ acting out in mercy for his neighbors. And we see a role model there that we can imitate.
The church, when she sets the day aside to remember St. Elizabeth, is remembering this shining light of benevolent charity and humility.
It's not a popular position, you know, to stand for true doctrine, and yet that's what Ambrose does.
You can watch A Cloud of Witnesses, our new YouTube video, under the support page at issuesetc.org. Historic, authentic Christian radio. Issues, Etc.
No praise music allowed. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Votes have consequences.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Representative Bart Stupak of Michigan found out the hard way votes indeed have consequences. After having opposed President Obama's health care bill because it will increase abortions, Congressman Stupak changed his vote in exchange for a meaningless executive order, and the bill became law. In short, Congressman Stupak betrayed his principles and his constituents, 78% of whom said they opposed taxpayer funding of abortion. Stupak saw his political future crumble and announced his retirement. Our hope is he will be replaced by someone who truly represents the pro-life views of that congressional district.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
We're studying the hymn, Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart. It's Thursday afternoon, the 17th of June. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Before we leave the second stanza behind, there is embedded in this what theologians will call, and what Luther famously called, a theology of the cross. He would actually talk about theologians of the cross. What is it, and why is it so important for, as you said before, understanding the Christian life for what it really is, rather than what we think it ought to be?
The theology of the cross is simply that God uses suffering to bring blessing, that God empties us. People like to picture the Christian life sometimes as a going from strength to strength to strength. You know, you're growing stronger. And it's true, but the way that we grow stronger is by becoming ever weaker in ourselves and ever more dependent upon the Lord. And God simply uses suffering to achieve that in our lives. And, I want to back up one second to the false doctrine thing. What gets in the way of the outward living, where we live in God in faith and in our neighbor by love, what false teaching does. Because the true teaching of God is what unbends us and sends us outward in praise and service. And Satan defiles our souls by getting us to believe his false words and promises. And so we have this plea for help from the Lord. Give strength and patience unto me to bear my cross and follow thee. One bears a cross toward execution. That's where crosses have their final purpose. They kill. And so we're on a procession towards death. It's coming. And along the way, God in his unfathomable mercy and love gives us these trial runs, these prefigurements, these little foretastes of the final event.
He lets us practice.
Practice. And in them, he's attempting to keep us from despair and giving up on his unseen promises when the final conflict comes. Each one of the crosses we bear in our life is a little death there where we get to live by the promise of God. You know, everybody at death is a Lutheran because then it's all sola fide. It's got to be by faith alone that, you know, your body, you're saying, okay, it's over. I mean, my earthly life is done. And this body is going to rot in the dust. It's going to, you know, and yet I'm going to hold to this, that this body will be raised by the promises of God. He empties us out of everything of us so that our entire confidence remains in him alone.
You have said many times that the Christian life is, as you just said, aimed toward finally trusting the promises of God in death, but learning to die well. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is so contrary to popular Christian teaching that says, no, Christianity is about learning to live well.
Yeah, and it is contrary, but that's the very nature of the theology of the cross. It seems foolishness to the world and also the world that lives in our own hearts. But here's the wisdom of God. He knows that if we know how to die, then we can truly live. Only the person who has learned the art of dying can truly live in this world in freedom. Then because what is the thing everybody's afraid of? They're afraid of dying. And what about if God has a way of pulling you from that fear and giving you a life that you know is yours forever? It's going to change how you live in this world, totally.
So we live as men who literally have nothing to lose.
Right. We literally have nothing to lose. You know, we were able to look at death itself and say, here is a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. This is what it is. And hey, I have no more trouble raising the dead than we have waking somebody up from their sleep. Actually, it's easier for him to do that. And so in that confidence, the great third stanza of this hymn comes, you know, just trumpeting out at us, sort of an answer to the plea at the end of the first stanza. My God and Lord, in death my thy comfort still afford. And here's the comfort.
Lord, let at last thine angels come to Abram's bosom, bear me home, that I may die unfearing, and in its narrow chamber keep my body safe in peaceful sleep until thy reappearing, and then from death awaken me, that these mine eyes with joy may see, O Son of God, thy glorious face, my Savior and my fount of grace. Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer attend, and I will praise thee without end.
My body.
the final stanza of Lord Thee I Love With All My Heart. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. Will, this rarely happens in even the best of hymns, but this final stanza is a hymn in itself.
Yeah.
It stands as beautifully as it ends the hymn,
mm-hmm.
in tying together all these biblical things and the promises of God. It stands by itself.
No, even, you know, Bach used it at the conclusion of the St. John Passion, that this final stanza just does the job all by itself. If you stop and think about that, after you've attended with Christ all the way into his grave, then you can sit there and pray a song like this. You know, these words come to life for you. Because you know, okay, it wasn't the end for him. It's not the end for me. The promises of God are stronger than death.
The image of the grave here is, you mentioned it a little bit before, a narrow, it doesn't, it, I mean, it paints a picture of a, if you've ever stood at the graveside while they lower the casket down into that narrow chamber,
mm-hmm.
this hole in the ground, and it just unblinkingly says, keep my body in this narrow chamber. As it sleeps.
Yeah. Sleeping. Beautiful. Let's not lose the Abraham's bosom thing.
Yes.
I think that's beautiful at the beginning. Thine angels come. You know, the images here of Luke 16, which I like to call the story of Lazarus and the rich men, because there were two rich men in the story. There's the rich man in hell, and there's Abraham, who was a very rich man upon this earth. But Abraham didn't put his trust in the wealth he enjoyed in this life. His trust was in the promises of God, which he, you know, you read the story of Genesis, he struggled to believe, faith struggling with despair. Yeah, Abraham, you're going to have all these kids. Okay, yeah, show me, God. You know, I've heard this promise over and over again. Show me. Maybe you need some help from me. Maybe if I did something, you know. Finally, God empties him out to the point where it's like there's no hope left.
Body good as dead.
Yeah, body as good as dead. And then God says, okay, now's the time. And God keeps his promise. He struggled to believe and to hold on, and he finally did. And this is what's counted to him as righteousness. I mean, it's not an accident. And the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. So the first time anything shows up in Genesis, it's hugely significant. And the first time the word believe occurs in the Bible is in Genesis 15. And the first thing you learn about the word believe is that God counts Abraham saying, yeah, I think you're telling me the truth, as righteousness in his sight. Faith is counted as righteousness. So Lazarus joins Abraham as one who believed that despite the wretched misery of his life, he would be an heir of the heavenly riches as God promised. You know, the angels accompanying Lazarus to Abraham's bosom, Luther said, a different sort of angel accompanied the unbelieving rich man to his fate. We pray that these angels who are with Lazarus would be with us to bring us home too. And that you know, that word home to Abram's bosom, bear me home. Home is a huge word in the Bible. Home is such an emotional laden word. If you live long enough in this world, you soon realize that you're always losing home. You know, the home that you grew up in, I always picture the big old house down there where my mom grew up. It stands empty. I remember it filled with children running in and out. There were so many cousins running around all summer long at the big old farmhouse. And now it stands there empty. And it's a picture to me of all these earthly homes that are forever fading away from view, and how that can be so disconcerting, the source of so much depression and misery in our life. What does it mean, though, if you have a home that you're never going to lose? And Jesus came to give us that home. John 14, you know, I go to prepare a place for you.
It's your place. It's not someone else's place.
Yeah, it'll be your home. It'll be your home forever. And it's in that confidence that we, you know, rejoice in the souls coming home to rest. But do you love how this is not docetic. I mean, it's not just floating off with the soul in the sweet by and by, because the soul, the body rests while the soul is nurtured and comforted there in God's presence in Abraham's bosom. But then you get this, and then, I mean, even when the organ came in, and then from death awaken me, that these my eyes, echoes right there of Job 19, know whom my eyes shall see and not another, how my heart yearns within me, when you know, the day when the Lord resurrects the flesh. These eyes with joy shall see, O Son of God, thy glorious face at thy reappearing. Reappearing is probably a hugely significant word, too. He does not use, you know, second coming. Second coming is,
or return.
Yeah, it kind of implies he's gone.
Well, when we come back, let's finish that thought, because Christ has promised a reappearing, not necessarily a return, a reappearing. What does that mean? We'll answer that question after this. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church. Welcome back. 10 more minutes in our study of the hymn, Lord, Thee I Love With All My Heart, on this Thursday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We were right in the middle of a thought when we went to that last break, and that is, until thy reappearing, keep my body safe in peaceful sleep until thy reappearing. Why is it so important to emphasize reappearing rather than the other way that this is talked about, return?
The return or second coming. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the problem is the picture that tends to run with return is that he's away. He's away, where that's not the issue at all. I mean, he ascended on to heaven so that he might fill all things with himself. As he's ascending, he's promising, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. What happens at the return, the reappearing, the coming of Christ, is that a veil is lifted, and you see, oh my goodness, it's exactly like he said. He was with us all along, just like he promised. You'll be able to see it, and we as we see him, that's why, especially in John's writings, he just uses the word the appearing of the Lord, when he says, when he appears in 1 John 3, when he appears, we shall see him. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
You were saying before we came back on during the break that this hymn is a best kept secret.
Oh.
Among the Reformation stream that we call Lutheranism.
Yeah, it breaks my heart that it's not widely known in the hymn corpus of Christendom. I mean, it really is sort of a Lutheran ghetto hymn, which just, it deserves to be out there with the very best. I mean, most people, if they know anything about hymns, they know How lovely shines the morning star, wake, awake, for night is flying. Certainly a mighty fortress. But this hymn seems to have its existence only inside of Lutheranism, by and large. And even inside of Lutheranism, there's huge swaths of area in this country where it's not even known, which just blows me away. The first time I heard the hymn, I thought, this hymn, and I never heard it until I was in the Midwest. I never heard it sung out on the East Coast. I'm sure there are places where it is, but I never heard it there. So, I mean, it certainly is one of the greatest treasures that Lutheranism could give to the overall hymn corpus of Christianity.
With about a minute before we hear the entire hymn, each stanza makes mention of God's grace.
Yes.
And that is, in the end, kind of the theme that runs here in the thoughts of this hymn writer. Talk about God as fount of grace, source of grace, as he is so often referred to in this hymn.
Yeah, the hymn is simply alive with the instinct that God himself is, as Luther described it, an unending fountain of goodness that's flowing out toward us. This picture of God is overwhelmingly toward us who are undeserving. He is unbelievably kind and gracious and giving. And this giving God is the center of the entire hymn. Not only has he given us all this bodily life, but when we totally screwed up this bodily life, the life in this age, he sends his son to bring judgment? No, to give us a share in the life that never ends. This unbelievable grace of God is powerful.
The entire hymn we've been studying, Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart.
Thank you.
The hymn, Lord, Thee I Love With All My Heart. Pastor Whedon, your final thoughts on this hymn?
The final thought that I have on this hymn is its final thought. This, Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer attend, and I will praise Thee without end. The end? What is the end? The end is that I get to praise God forever without end. This is the end, the purpose, the goal, the meaning of life, what we were created for, and that we might worship the Lamb, that we might sing His song of redemption, praising His blood forever. You know, we get these little small snippets of it now, and it's a foretaste, but the feast is going to outshine the foretaste by far.
Pastor Will Whedon is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Thank you so much for being our guest.
And thank you for inviting me to talk about this great hymn.
Folks, if you appreciate hymn studies like this one with Pastor Whedon, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. No gift is too small. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during the difficult summer months. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Christian philosopher Robert Velarde join us, and we'll review the new movie Toy Story 3. He's author of the book The Wisdom of Pixar. Don't think of eternal life as endless choir practice. Please don't. I know that it seems so dreary today. It seems an obligation to praise God. It seems something contrary to your nature. That's because in your sin it is contrary to your nature to praise your Creator. But Christ has come to restore us to the Father so that we might in body and soul be finally freed to do what God created us to do. To do what is native to us apart from our sin and is now ours restored in Christ. So that the language that we speak now is all full of lies and praising ourselves and speaking of ourselves and speaking only to ourselves. The language of heaven is the language of Jesus Christ Himself. Our lips will finally be opened and our tongues will finally be loosed to do what God gave them to us to do. Our bodies will be freed to do what God gave them to us to do. And all of this in Christ Jesus. When we arrive on that day that has no end, there will be no obligation, only great joy and great praise for the Lamb of God. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.